Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Let's pray, family. Father God, we just thank you again for another opportunity to come together to study your word, to hear your word, to be your word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit here to guide us, to encourage us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, that I would clearly state those things that we need to hear, that I would speak them with simplicity, that they would be correct in every way, and that they would bring life to your listeners. Thank you, Father, that you have given us authority, dominion, and power over Satan and his demonic forces. Satan, we remind you that you are defeated and under our feet. You cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, as always, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we claim it. Amen. All right. Listener, we are continuing with our new teaching entitled Redeemed in Jesus with a subtitle, What Does It Mean to Be Redeemed? Last week, we covered the majority of part one of this teaching, which is God's original intent for mankind. And I trust that we will be able to complete this part today. This teaching on redemption consists of three parts, which includes, number one, God's original intent for mankind, number two, atonement under the Old Testament, and part three, redemption under the New Testament. Each part will build on the foundation of Jesus' redemptive assignment. Listener, if you were not with us last week, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the previous episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of this website at any time. We welcome them all. Let's turn to Hebrews Chapter 2, we're going to read verses 10 and 11. I will be quoting from the New King James Bible unless otherwise stated. Again, last week before we closed, I was explaining that after Adam's sin, God had to save mankind by removing Adam and Eve from the garden to keep them from eating from the tree of life. This act was one of love in order to keep mankind from living in sin and the penalty of sin, which is eternal death. God, in his immense love, knew that the day would come when his redemptive plan would be made available and mankind could once again be reunited spiritually with him as he originally intended, not merely servants of God, but children with an eternal inheritance based on God's or Jesus' redemptive work. All right, Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 10 and 11. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. All right. I want to go back and interject who the him is and who the us is so that the listener can understand clearly what this scripture is saying and how it affects us today. So again, starting with verse number 10, for it was fitting for him, referring to Jesus. So it was fitting for Jesus, for whom we are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. to make the captain, referring to Jesus, to make Jesus of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he, or Jesus, who sanctifies, and those who are being sanctified, that's us, are all of one. For which reason he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them, or us, brethren. Amen. So here we see how the work that Jesus completed brought us back into the family of the Heavenly Father. God found a man under the Old Testament who could be trusted to fulfill the first part of this plan to bring on earth the Messiah and redeem mankind. Abram, now known as Abraham, is a type of Jesus, and he too had the same concern that his descendants would be servants and not sons. So when you go back to the Old Testament, if you read the whole chapter of Genesis 15, you're going to see that there is a big conversation going between Abram and God. I just want to highlight one verse. That is Genesis 15:2. Abram is speaking, and he says, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" Now, Eleazar of Damascus was a servant of Abram, not a biological son. Abram did not want his inheritance going to his servant. And in like manner, God knew that without Jesus' saving grace, all God would have for his great inheritance would be servants under the Old Testament. But he longed for children who would operate in his likeness with dominion and power. Now, for those of you who have studied Old Testament the way of the Orient, you will know that during that time period, and in some parts of the world today, it's still a practice, that the firstborn son of each family is the one to inherit the majority of the goods and belongings of their parents, so that the namesake of that individual, the parents, would continue on through that one male child born from that husband and that wife. So it was no different for Abram. He wanted a son who would carry on not just his name, but his inheritance. Let's continue. In Genesis 15, God Almighty not only promised Abram a son from his own body, but also that his descendants would be so many that just like the stars above cannot be counted, so Abram's descendants would be numerous. Abram was not convinced immediately and asked God for some proof that this promise would come to pass. In response to Abram's question, our living God cut blood covenant with Abram and set in motion the legal right for the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, to be born of a virgin woman who would redeem all of mankind. Now, we're talking about God's original intent. Listener, stay with me. We need to lay this foundation so that you can see how marvelous, how perfect, how wonderful the New Testament was able to be built on the Old Testament. Let's continue. I would like to point out the obvious, and that is that one man's obedience, that of Abraham, gave God permission to intervene in man's affairs here on earth. And the result was to give mankind the opportunity to once again be reunited spiritually with God and receive the eternal inheritance as the sons of God. This is the original intent of God for mankind. Again, to have children who would operate like him and have the same image as that of God. My opening scripture for this teaching says that man was made a little lower than God himself, and that he gave his glory and honor. However, God's intent does not stop there. God gave us dominion with all things under our feet. I know that this must have driven Satan with great jealousy, and no doubt had everything to do with tempting Eve and ultimately causing Adam to sin against our Creator. We know from the Holy Bible that Satan was at one time a most beautiful and powerful archangel, whose purpose was to worship and orchestrate music unto our living God. However, Satan lost his prominent position when he dared to exalt himself above the one and only Creator. Therefore, Satan and a third of the angels who chose to follow Satan were kicked out of heaven and subjected to wander without a home. All right, I do want to go to Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to read verses 12 through 15 because I want you to see what took place from the scriptures with regards to Satan. All right, again, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. Starting with verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the earth, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the angels of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. So here we have one of the passages that documents how Satan got bigger than he really was and made some assumptions, basically to try to take over what God had created. So notice in verse 14, though, that he wasn't as foolish as he appears, because he did not say that he would be God, the Most High. What he said he would be like. So he knew from his own creation that God was almighty, all-powerful, all-sovereign. He wanted some of that, but he knew he would never be that. He was created, and he was given a free will, and he chose to come against the living God. When Adam chose to believe Satan's lie and sin against God by being disobedient to God's commandment, Adam gave Satan and his evil spirits the legal right to be the false gods of this earth for a season. But family, payday is coming, and hell stands ready to receive Satan, his demonic forces, and anyone else who wants to join Satan in the lake of fire. Until that great day, this is what Jesus has provided us. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to read verses 18 through 20. Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 18. It says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Wow. All right, let's continue here. I do want to highlight again who these he's are speaking of, because we're headed toward the New Testament and redemption in Jesus. So I wanted to make very clear why Jesus' work is so important to the believer, to the Christian today. So it says in verse 18, and he, referring to Jesus, and Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I, or Jesus, give you the authority, and the you is us, family, give us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, these serpents and scorpions is referring not just to those animals, the actual creation of the animal, but to Satan and his demonic forces. because it goes on to say, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is the kind of power and authority that we have. In fact, if you've been with me any period of time, when I pray the opening prayer before we get started with each lesson, I claim and confess that Satan is defeated and under our feet, and that he cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord while we are studying together. That's the authority and dominion that God has given us. And I speak it out and confess it in faith because Satan is a defeated foe. He cannot cause any issues unless we allow him to. So nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's what we should be claiming. That's what we should rejoice in. But watch what verse 20 says. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. These evil spirits are subject to us. When we speak God's word over the situation and put a demand in the spirit realm, these spirits have to run and flee. They have no place in our lives. But the reason he says that is because the next part of the scripture says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, that passage, that part of the scripture is to remind us that we were once dead spiritually and were headed to hell. But as a result of what Jesus completed, his redemptive work, we were now our names are written in the Lamb Book of Life. We were once headed to eternal death, but now our names are written in the Lamb Book of Life. Amen. Again, the good news is that God's original intent was brought back and deemed paid in full by the blood of the perfect Lamb, Jesus the Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 2 verses 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Amen, amen. So in verse 21, when it says, for since by man, this is referring to Adam, came death. Remember when we went to the book of Genesis in previous lessons, we read those scriptures that talked about the sin that Adam committed. And he eliminated or cut us off from the spiritual life with us and the Heavenly Father. And as a result of his sin, the sin nature entered into this earth realm, and we were all condemned to eternal death. But then it goes on to say, by man, and this particular man has a capital M referring to Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. And then, of course, in verse 22, it says, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, the reason it doesn't say, even so in Christ all shall be alive, is because we have a free choice. We can choose to receive the gift of salvation, which will give us eternal life, or we can choose to reject the gift of salvation, in which we will have eternal death. So it's on us, family. We have a free will, and we must choose. All right, our dominion and power to keep all things under our feet was redeemed by Jesus Christ, and the devil and his fallen angels are powerless. They cannot operate in our lives without our permission and cooperation. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. I want to read verses 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. In this scripture, you're going to find out, you're going to hear, that we have overcome Satan's evil system in this earth realm. Let's read. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I want to make it super clear so that there are no doubt or confusion as we hear certain words in these passages. But we all know, because we went there earlier in this teaching, that in the book of Genesis, when God created earth or the world, he said it was very good. So when this passage says that we're going to overcome the world, it's not talking about earth or terra firma, all that is included in what God created, the animal life, and so forth. No, it's referring to that Satan's cursed system that is a result of one man's sin, Adam. So we can read this scripture as follows. I want to reread it, and I'm going to interject what this world, the word world means in terms of this scripture. It says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world, or Satan's cursed system. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, or Satan's cursed system, our faith. Our faith will overcome it. Now, we know that the work was completed in Jesus, but it's our faith believing in the Word of God and in the work that Jesus completed that gives us that overcoming, victorious life. All right. Who is he who overcomes the world or Satan's cursed system? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So it is very plain. If we want to live those victorious, overcoming lives, then we're going to need to make a decision for Jesus, because he has already completed the work so that we can be victorious in this earth realm. I'm here to tell you that those Christians who are talking like and living like Jesus are those who have overcome the devil, his evil spirits, and his evil assignments. Those individuals that are mature Christians, this is the legacy that Jesus provided for us. Jesus redeemed us with his sinless life and precious blood. I want to read the last passage for this part, God's original intent, and it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Just the one scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Again, I want to read that verse, and I want to interject exactly who the them and he are so that you can have a clear understanding the power that lives in you if you are a Christian. It says, you are of God, little children. So if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then you are a child of the Most High God and have overcome them. The them is Satan and his demons, because he who is Jesus, who is in you, that being us as Christians, is greater than he, Satan, who is in the world. Wow. So, family, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be concerned about, but what we do need to do is find out what God's word says and then apply the word to our lives. It's not good enough to just hear the word. You have to use the word every day, every hour, every minute. Use it as a part of a lifestyle for victory in Jesus. In summary, what our Heavenly Father intended from the very beginning was to have children, not servants, who would walk in the dominion and authority that he gave us when he created the first man, and that Jesus ultimately purchased with his sinless life and precious blood. This is what will make our living God the Father that he so richly deserves. Amen. All right, that's the conclusion for part one, God's original intent for mankind. Now I do want to start with part two, which is atonement under the Old Testament. Part two, atonement under the Old Testament. In the previous section, we have examined and documented by the Word of God that blood covenant was God's way to buy us back to Him. We have confirmed from the Scriptures that we have a covenant-keeping God who is looking for a people who will come to understand and operate in the blood covenant of Jesus the Christ. It is only through understanding and applying the principles of Jesus' work that Christians will be able to live the overcoming and victorious life that God intended for us from the beginning of time. We must come to know that God's blood covenant is not merely a ritual with do's and don'ts that we must follow, but rather an act of love from the greater to the lesser for our benefit and protection. Oh, family, I believe we're out of time. Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop here. Please join us again.
Thank you for sharing this time with us, and if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net. and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.